Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody, on a nice Sunday. Nothing like The Exorcist to get us going here on a Sunday morning. I am your host, John Robb, and this is Suspense Radio. We had very exciting shows that were on here yesterday when we had Lisa Gardner and Douglas Preston, Lincoln Child, to discuss their latest books. Today is going to be another great day because we're going to have Heather Gudenkauf to come on, and she is going to be talking about her latest book, which right now we just found out is number 20 on the New York Times bestseller paperback or trade fiction, which is These Things Hidden, came out in February. So here we go. We're going to sit back, relax, because 60 minutes of Suspense Radio starts now. Well, I tell you, I have no idea what those ladies are singing about, but it just gives me a charge sometimes to hear that song, O Fortuna. Another thing kind of off topic I want to know, I was at Costco yesterday. Don't know if anybody, you know Costco, Sam's Club, those types of warehouse clubs. And I bought this thing called Greens to Go. I am not one of these people who likes to eat vegetables. In fact, I despise vegetables. The only thing I eat is corn, maybe some peas. Are they vegetables? I don't know. But that's about the only thing that I like as far as vegetable. And this Greens to Go thing, are you kidding me? I can drink my vegetables. I get great absorption, and I don't have to eat the stupid things anymore. This is every kid's dream, and now an adult who just didn't like the Brussels sprouts and the stuff growing up. Drink them. You get six servings of fruits and vegetables in here, and you can get fruit too. There's a vegetable one and a fruit one. Had no idea these things existed. I saw these. I'm drinking them, and I'm like, you know what? And it's not even half bad. And it's only one thing of water. I'm drinking a 16-ounce thing of water. I stick the little thing in there and mix it up, and it's beautiful. Love it. I think it's a great invention, aside from cell phones, which I think is the worst invention of all time. But enough of that. What we're going to do is we are so pleased. We're going to get to news and notes, reviews, and everything kind of here at the end of the show. It's such a gorgeous day out here in Los Angeles that I just can't wait to head on out, maybe go to the ocean and see some stuff going on because we've had some really cold weather, so it's great. But we are so pleased right now to be able to have Heather Gudenkauf on the show today. This is her second book after The Weight of Silence, which hit the New York Times bestseller list. And this one is called These Things Hidden, out now. Heather, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's super to be here.
Great. Well, I'll tell you, we talked a little bit off air, and we were talking, and kind of something hit me as soon as I was talking to you, because you're from small town, upper Midwest, U.S.
Correct,
and
yes.
Your books have a very deep, emotional, suspenseful meaning, so you kind of get into the emotional part of the suspense thriller. And I'm sitting here wondering, do you think that being from the small towns and in rural America, that that gives you a great insight of those types of kinds of emotions, that the bigger city is always so much hustle and bustle that you really don't, I don't think you kind of see it that deep of emotional stories that you have the great ability to write?
Well, thank you. I do think having my stories set in small towns really is crucial to my writing. I love small towns. I love the rural communities that I've lived in. And I think there's really something special and unique about small towns. People really get to know one another. People are very emotionally invested in one another. Sometimes it can be seen as knowing a little bit too much about your neighbor, but I also think there are some wonderful things that come out of that, the real sense of community.
Well, I'll tell you, even being in Los Angeles, sometimes you get to know your neighbor too well, and I don't think that that's a good thing either, especially some of the neighbors you have out here. But these things hidden, like I said, it's very much a deep emotional read that you capture so eloquently, because it is very difficult to write on that type of emotion. A lot of thrillers are just really fast-paced and just kind of scratch surfaces and don't really get into, you know, the actual characters and secondaries and the emotional feelings. But your character, Allison Glenn, here is much different than that. So can you kind of explain a little bit about, you know, the book These Things Hidden to people who might not know about it?
Sure. These Things Hidden is primarily a story about two sisters, Allison and Bryn Glenn. And Allison, at the beginning of the story when we meet her, has just been released from prison for a very terrible crime, though we don't know quite what that is at the beginning of the novel. And upon her return home, she wants more than anything to reconnect with her sister, Bryn, who is a year younger than she is and happened to be there the night the terrible crime was committed. And so her goal is to reconnect with her family, with her sister, and to begin a new life. And there are all kinds of barriers to that situation, so it makes it difficult. Her sister does not want to reconnect with her, wants to move on with her own life.
And so the web, I guess you want to say, that you're weaving within the story is the connection of what did Allison do, why is Bryn the way that she is, and to try to have them sort of connect on some kind of a level, maybe that they were before Allison went away. Am I close?
Yes, exactly. And then also brought into the mix are two other characters, Claire Kelby, who is an adoptive mother who owns a local bookstore and is kind enough to bring Allison into her fold and give her a chance with a new job, and also Charmed, Leah, who is a young girl. We don't really know why she's connected to the story. She kind of weaves her way in, and soon enough it becomes obvious why she is so integral to the story.
Now, without giving away, because, you know, the suspense kind of climax part is almost, I guess, about what Allison did in order to be put away, and that's the shocking, one of the shocking parts, elements of your book. But when you're writing about subject matters that are kind of hit close to home, does it difficult for you to put yourself and your mind into the place that you kind of have to be dark in order to get there, to get it right?
Yes, that can be a challenge. I'm a mother myself. I have three children, and some of the topics that I do write about are difficult. But the nice thing is that I know it's fiction, and I know how the story is going to turn out. So for me, that's helpful. But yes, they're, you know, very strong emotions, and I try really hard to put myself in the character's shoes, try to feel what they're feeling, understand what they're going through, in choosing the words that they say, the actions that they do.
And do you find yourself scared, kind of, when you're in that zone and realizing things that maybe it's, you know, the crimes or the things are actually much more worse and emotional than you thought going into them, that you almost have to step back and say, am I doing the right thing?
You know, I do. You always have that, you know, do you cross the line or not in dealing with certain subject matters? And that is something I'm always mindful of. But, you know, I really think it's important for the realism of the story to try and be as honest as I can with the characters and what they would do. And, you know, when things get intense, I take a break. I'll go for a run or a walk and, you know, walk away for a little bit and then get right back into it.
Now, what I also find really great about your writing here is, you know, you got picked up with the book Weight of Silence, which is the one that came out previous to These Things Hidden. And I want everybody to know that your website is Heather, your last name is spelled G-U-D, as in dog, E-N-K-A-U-F.com to find out all the information. But a lot of authors today and a lot of publishers are buying the character that people are creating and not the stories that you're doing it. But you're different because it wasn't like a Jack Reacher or an Alex Cross or someone that they're like, yeah, we want, you know, 5 books about this guy. You have to come up with unique stories instead of characters every time. Does that make it more difficult as a writer for yourself?
I really enjoy doing that. You know, I have lots of characters running around in my head that I'd like to write about, and you know, I'm fortunate to have a publisher who really believes in me as a writer and my ability to come up with characters that are interesting and situations that are interesting to the readers. So, yeah, I think you're right. There is a lot of the series books out there, which I enjoy myself. But for me, I really, really like to take, you know, a cutting edge topic and, you know, weave the and mold the characters around that and try something new every time.
And one of the great people that you got was Tess Aronson to read it. Can you, and, you know, she's a friend of ours. And we've had her on the show before. She's very fantastic. How did you kind of get her to be able to read your book? Did she read it after it was published, or did you kind of contact her when you were in the middle of the whole process? How was that?
Yeah, I was so fortunate. Tess Gerritsen happened to make a book, be on book tour a few years ago, and she came to our hometown library. And I had just been signed with Mira Books, and I met Tess at the event and got a chat with her, and she was very encouraging to me. And a little bit later down the road, I had emailed her and asked if I could send her a copy of the book for possible comment. And she was nice enough to let me do that and read the book and really enjoyed it and was very generous in giving me a comment for the cover of the book. So, yeah, writers are the nicest people, I swear. I've, you know, had a chance to meet lots of different authors in the past 2 years, and they're a very caring, generous group, really supportive of one another.
Exactly. And isn't it true, I mean, that it's just amazing that when we always talk about it, that writers, without writers like yourself and people like Tess, that things just don't go on. I mean, if you just get this year's awards, the Emmys, or I don't know, the Academy Awards, they were terrible, even with good writers. They couldn't even make that work. So, I mean, so it's so true that, you know, those things, you know, writers of today have a lot, actually, I think they have a lot more pressure, which is what my next question is. Not only the challenges that you feel, because you're writing in a totally different, you know, generation now that was written 20 years ago with the older authors that are already established, you have a lot more pressure and a lot more competition now. How do you see things going forward for yourself and for other authors in the same boat like you?
You know, it's so brand new to me. I guess I'm fortunate that way, that it's all new for me, being a relatively new writer. And, you know, I just think with all professions and all jobs, people have to be flexible and change with the times. I mean, there's definitely the digital outreach there and learning how to utilize that and meet readers where they're at. People want to be on their computers. They, you know, want to be on Twitter and Facebook, and that's how we communicate with one another now. So being open to trying those new things, different formats, is really important for a new author and an established author, I think. So I'm trying to learn and grow with that, but really when it comes down to it, I just enjoy the writing, and that's what I do, and I rely on the experts at the publishing company and to get it out there, and I try to support it after it's written the best I can. But, you know, for me, it's the writing. It's weaving the stories.
Now, before you were an author, did you have anything to do with, you know, marketing or publicity or anything else in that area, or were you totally new to the whole concept that when you got signed by Mira, that now you actually have to go and sell yourself, which is something that a lot of authors aren't used to doing because, quite frankly, a lot of them, I guess, are camera shy in that respect. They like to write, but they don't like to be out there in front of things.
Yes, that's definitely a new element for me. I'm by trade a teacher, so I have been a teacher for the last 18 years, and so I didn't have that, you know, sense of getting up in front of people, unless it was my colleagues or students,
right,
of course. So it was new, and it doesn't always come naturally, and it's definitely something I prepare for when I speak with groups or get in front of audiences or do interviews. But, it's part of it, and it's enjoyable. I always have a good time when I have the opportunity to talk about books because I love reading and I love books. But it is new, and it's, you know, just a whole different world.
Well, I was talking yesterday because we were talking with Lisa Gardner, and you might be familiar with her work.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And she was on, and 81% of people want to write a book, but not even near that many people ever do it. What was the trigger in your head for you to be one of those 81% that said, now's time to get it done and I want to start writing, whether it was The Weight of Silence and then, or which one was first, The Weight of Silence, was it These Things Hidden? Because sometimes those things get a little, you know, mixed
sure.
up in the order.
Yeah, for me it was The Weight of Silence was my first. And what really triggered it for me is, you know, I'm a reader first. I love to read. I just read as much as I possibly can get my hands on. And after a while, I just thought, you know, I've read so much. I think I want to give this a try. So it was one day right after school got out, the day after school got out for the school year, for summer, I went and bought myself a beautiful journal. And my family and I hopped in the car for a little driving vacation, and I started writing The Weight of Silence. And, it just went from there. And just for me, it was the right time. I knew I wanted to do it, and there was no time like the present, so I sat down and started writing.
Now, you said you're a teacher.
Yes.
Are your students old enough to read your work?
I have been an elementary teacher for the big
okay.
part of my career, and so no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend that at all. Currently, I'm a literacy coach for our school district, which means I help teachers and schools with curriculum and their literacy efforts within the schools. But I have come across former students who have picked up the book. They're a little bit older now. They're high school age or older, and they do seem to really enjoy the books, and it's always fun to see them and talk to them about what they're up to, too.
So that's interesting that now you have former students come back and saying, oh, my gosh, I had no idea that you either they found out that you wrote this or you told
mm-hmm.
them or they just happened to pick it up. And what do they, do they get the sense that, you know, wow, you know, reading is now fun? Because the big thing, too, that I find out at high school, not a lot of people in high school like to read books because they're forced to read really crappy ones. Well, I'm not going to say crappy ones, but really old ones that really are boring. I mean, let's face it, Dracula is a lot more interesting today than when Bram Stoker wrote them. So,
yes, yeah, and I think that is, there's so much competing for our kids' attention right now. We've got everything computerized and video games.
Yeah,
and
my 14-year-old's playing Xbox right now as we speak, probably.
Right, so is mine.
Yeah.
So, there's so much competition. And, you know, as teachers and as parents, I know we work really hard to try and get our kids to love reading. And the best we can do is to be great models ourselves and have books handy and offer them and keep offering them books and supporting our schools and our teachers. And I hope that as they get older and they will come back to books.
Yeah, see, and I've always been in a big fight with my wife talking about whether you're in high school and if you want people to read and you want kids to read, let them choose what
mm-hmm.
they want to read instead of telling them what to read, because otherwise all you're going to do is turn them off to
yeah.
want to read because they're going to go, well, I don't want to read this book. This is boring. I could care less about John Steinbeck or this and that, you know,
right.
literary thing. So, yeah, I'm in full agreement
yeah.
with that.
And I completely agree with you that, you know, if the what we need to do is get books in the hands of kids. And the more they read, the better readers they become. It, of course, we want them to have quality, but it doesn't have to be. It should be something that they're interested in. I know I went round and round with my own folks when I was in junior high, and I was pulling all the Stephen King books off the shelf and reading those and the Thornbirds. But, kids need choices. They need to be invested in what they're reading.
Well, I want to remind everybody, we're talking here with Heather Gundenkoff, and her latest book, These Things Hidden, came out. It's in all the formats. It's in paperback. It's not in hardback, correct?
Right.
Okay,
trade
so paperback.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and it's in all the bookstores. You can find Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com and all the other places, which leads to another point is that how long did it take you to get recognized and to finally get a contract? And were you almost at the point, or would you ever have considered doing it on your own like you can today?
I think, in the scheme of publishing, very fortunate. I happened to find a wonderful literary agent who really worked with me to get The Weight of Silence into really good shape before we sent it off to publishers. And after it was in good shape and ready to go, it took about a year and a half to find Mira Books. And then from there, it took about another year and a few months to be published. It's, you know, something you have to be very patient with. Something that I've gotten better at, being patient, mm-hmm. because you have to be with writing and publishing. And would I self-publish? You know, I think there's so many great formats out there. If you're trying the more traditional ways and it's not working for you and you want people to read your work, it's great. There's never been a time when the forums have been there like they are today. So, I think as long as people do it and it's a reputable way of doing it, that someone's not taking advantage of the writer, I think, it's great.
So someone right now who's looking to try to get published and looking for that agent and this and that, do you have any quick words of wisdom for them to say, this is how I went about finding an agent, or this is what you should do? Something to kind of give them hope that, big publishers are still looking for great authors and not just kind of going away.
Sure. What worked for me, I got a copy of The Writer's Market, which is a book that has a listing of all different...
That's the big, thick book.
The big, thick book, the contact information for literary agents and publishers. And I scanned through and looked for a literary agent. I think it is very important to have a literary agent if you're looking to get connected with a publisher, who represented authors I really enjoyed. And so I worked hard on a query letter, sent her the first 50 pages, and she contacted me to read the rest of the novel and worked with me to get it, like I said, in really good shape. So I would try and be smart and look for literary agents that deal with books that you're writing, the genre, the type, authors that you enjoy, and start there.
So there is a lot of research that people have to do, which I don't know how much they realize. You just don't send it out and hope something happens. And I think that that's kind of ignorant for them to think that it just someone's just going to call them on the phone and say, hey, we want to read your book. No,
right.
it doesn't quite happen that way.
It doesn't. And it is a long process. A lot of patience is, involved in persistence. It's okay mm-hmm. to be persistent and, you just can't give up if it's something that's really you're driven to do and, want to do, write the best thing that you can possibly write and get it into people's hands.
Well, I know that you are still on the high here because your book is number 20 right now in the New York Times bestseller for trade fiction on These Things Hidden. But everybody wants to know what's coming up next. What do you got going on?
Yeah, I am furiously working away on my third novel. I'm about half done. I will say, I don't say a whole lot about the books I'm working on because things, change so much I'm writing. But it is set in Iowa, and it is told from multiple perspectives, as my first two novels were. And it's about ordinary people put in a very extraordinary situation. So,
Go ahead.
Oh, I say, and you know, I look forward to getting it out there to people.
So now, and so the other quick question too is that there, with all the new technology and all the ways, you know, different things that we talked about also, you know, with everything with Facebook, Twitter, and the whole nine yards, mm-hmm. do you incorporate a lot of those things? Are you looking to incorporate a lot more of those things in your books going into the future in order to, I guess, because, you know, not only are your books suspenseful and thrilling and, you know, sometimes scary, but they're also awareness. If parents would actually read to know about awareness, you can get that sense out of your books, too. Are you kind of working on novels on those kinds of same way, even though it's still scary and suspenseful and, you know, can be really scary, but still awareness of what can happen out there today with children?
Yeah, I do. And I think, you know, as an educator, children are, you know, incredibly important to me and their wellness. And I think, you know, as we were talking earlier, our society has so much competition and for attention. And we're so busy as parents and adults that oftentimes we don't take a good look at our children and see what's going on with them and what they're going through. And we breeze through life and then all of a sudden, you know, these terrible things can happen. I think we just need to slow down and look at our kids and talk to our children and find out what's going on with them, you know, despite all the technology and, you know, the barriers to communication and work hard to be more open with them. And I think that's a really important message in my writing. You know, we need to look out for our kids. They're our most important resource.
Right. Well, Heather, I'll tell you what, you've nailed it out of the ballpark again here with These Things Hidden. Your second book, which just came out February, so it's available for everyone to go get. You have no excuse because you can always get a Kindle or a Sony e-reader, download it, and put it right into your hands. So that's the good thing. You can never say, oh, well, the bookstore's out of it. Well, you know what? Invest in an e-reader, and then you never have that issue.
Right, right.
So that's my whatever speech to everybody else out there, because everybody knows I'm an e-book fan, and print is whatever happens, happens, and I'm not really worried about it. So, Heather, it has been so great to have you on. We really appreciate it. Looking forward to book three, probably coming out, I would venture, in a year. Typically, that's how they go.
Yes, yes.
And,
well, then,
you know,
thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Right, so keep us up to date on what's going on, and we'll look to have you on here, you know, shortly to talk about book three and see how everything's going on.
That would be wonderful. Thank you.
All right. You have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. So, again, everybody, that is Heather Gundenkauf. Her website is heathergundenkauf.com, GUDENKAUF.com, to find out about her latest book, These Things Hidden. Just came out in February 2011. You can get it in all the formats you want. You can contact, look at her blog, news, everything. Find out about her last book, The Weight of Silence. It's, like I said, deep emotional issues that you typically don't find in suspense thrillers. And, you know, books that will really have you sit there scratching your head with the scary approach, the thriller suspense approach that you come to love, she's putting down in here. And she's definitely an author to look for coming up in the future. And you want to get on her two books now, because when she starts going, it's going to be more difficult to try to get her on the show, because the higher they get, everybody wants them. So you can say you heard them here first. So let's move on here. And I want to remind everybody, too, that, you know, like I said yesterday, we had Douglas Preston and Lincoln Child on talking about their books, Gideon Sword. We also had Lisa Gardner on. And, you know, I'm just sitting here looking at past episodes of people that we've had on the radio show. And you want to talk about heavy hitters that, you know, we've been able to get on. I'll tell you, it has been absolutely incredible. 2011 has been fabulous. And you go on to our site. You can go on to blogtalkradio.com/suspensemagazine to find out everybody that we've had on here. Because we're going back here and, you know, looking at just in the month of February, with L.J. Sellers and Charles Todd and David Halpern and Maria Forrest, Spencer Carstairs, who I'm going to get a little bit more into, Brad Taylor, David Ellis, Tasha Alexander, Star Arena, Leslie Tetler. I mean, the list goes on and on. We can listen, you know, Brad Thor and Steve Barry, Daniel Palmer, you know, Patricia Cornwell, Michelle Gagan, all these great authors that we've been able to have on here on the show to bring to you. You know, this is why we do it, for you guys to be able to hear your author and understand maybe what's behind the book, but just them as a person, you know, what they think. You know, they are, you know, just normal people like anybody else. But the funny thing is you probably would have no idea who they are when you're walking down the street. It's one of those other funny things. Lee Child, who's one of the most biggest sellers right now out in the world today, said he's been recognized one time walking on the street, which, you know, I just kind of find funny, you know, because he's one of the biggest authors out there. His books go, you know, if New York Times bestseller right when they hit the, you know, but people wouldn't know who he was if they, you know, unfortunately for Stephen King, hit him with a car. Maybe that guy didn't even know who Stephen King was when he hit him. Which, you know, kind of sits there and brings me to, you know, what we've done with Suspense Publishing also, is we have, you know, found some very great authors, very good authors here to be able to bring out, you know, people that might not have been able to find that traditional publisher and, you know, get into those big things, but have stories that are, you know, just as good, if not better, just because, you know, some of these authors did not get picked up by Simon and Schuster, or, you know, Random House, or, you know, St. Martin's or whatever, does not mean that they can't write. It just maybe means that that stuff was not at the right time than what those companies were looking for. Because remember, publishing is a business, and it's also a copycat business. That's why you see a ton of vampire novels, you know, and you start seeing the werewolf novels, and you start seeing those types of things when historical thrillers were very big, and they copycatted off Da Vinci Code. Publishers are very much a copycat, you know, business. There's just no way around it. But what we've done here at Suspense Publishing is we've made it to where it's probably, hopefully, not copycat. We've made it to where you can have, you know, great stories that are outside the realm of all the other masses that you're already going to find, just maybe written in a different way. And one way we did that, too, was be able to get Spencer Carstairs, who is a British insider, and now Spencer is not his real name, and people are wondering who it is, getting a lot of emails. People are wanting to know who this person is, because the book that he wrote was Someone to Watch Over Me, which has rocked, you know, the British royal family over in England. And actually right now that they, you know, it's a little too hot for people in Britain to read, to publish. You know, we had to come over here to the United States. We decided to do it because, you know, we felt the story should be told. With everything that's going on now, Fergie going on Oprah with her own show on the OWN network, the OWN network of Oprah's network. You know, the invites go out from Prince William and Kate and whatever her name is, Princess Kate, I'm not really sure. And everything that's happening right now with the royal family and how much it's in your face with Charles and Camilla in the background, the British insider Spencer Carstairs has brought a great book that kind of explains everything that goes on, what could go on. Now, it's a fictional setting in a factual environment, and that's what makes it interesting. You know, we've had people on like Brad Taylor and you know, Brad Thor talking about things that they write about in their spy espionage books, things that do go on today that maybe the government doesn't want you to know, things that they can't write about because the technology is so scary that they can't have it out there because they have operatives in the same way. Well, this is what Spencer's done on his British Insider. So you want to go check it out. You know, it's available on the ebook form. It's not expensive. You want to get it. You want to read it and see what you think. Email us. Let us know about any of our books that are out there. Tell us what you think about any of them. Just go to Suspense Publishing. You'll find them. We've done a lot of great stuff out there, and you can check it out. You can also back and check out all the great interviews that we've had. We're going to have some great ones coming up here in the future. We're going to be on Tuesday with Beth Groundwater. You know, we're going to have some bigger names, big names, whatever, authors and great authors coming up here in the future. To just match what we've done here in 2011, our February issue is out. If you haven't ordered it, you can. We have a lot of copies. You can get them straight from us. Our March issue is coming. The electronic issue's already been out. The print issue's coming out here in the next week or so. You guys will have that one. So go to suspensemagazine.com, order the magazine, subscription, electronic print, however you want to get it. I'm still looking at, you know, tablets, and I want to get one. The wife's not wanting me to get one, but if you can help me out and tell me which one I should get, maybe, just maybe, you know, she'll let me have it. I don't know. But it's been a great one. We've had a great weekend. We were going to see you Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Pacific time for that show, and that's going to be Beth Groundwater. Check out all the amazing shows that we've had. SuspenseMagazine.com for anything that's new and updating. We're always looking for stories. We're always looking for, you know, any kind of insight, ghost stories, anything at all that you want to give us. And, you know, we will see you guys all here coming up on Tuesday night. Have a great rest of the weekend. I'm going outside because it's nice and sunny. So, thank you for tuning in.